They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
Lightning speed round recap of episode one.
Yes, please.
Okay. So Riley is the main character. He was in prison for 4 years because he killed a girl drunk driving. It was like this young girl, whole big thing. After 4 years, he gets out of prison, but he has to go back to the small town, Crockett Island, that he grew up in. And it's a super religious small town of 127 people. So he gets there and there's a new priest there because Monsignor Pruitt is gone. No one knows what happens to him. But this new priest comes into town and everybody's like, who the hell is this guy? But now this guy is there and all this weird shit starts happening and no one knows what's going on. And the episode ends with a bunch of dead cats on the beach.
Oh my god, that was amazing. We recorded that in like an hour and you did it literally in 5 seconds.
But we had to develop characters and personalities.
I'm just in awe of you right now.
That was impressive.
Thank you. Everybody caught up? Everybody feel like they've watched the first one? Okay, cool.
I mean,
we should have listened to our first one, so.
Maybe I don't even need to listen or watch the episodes anymore.
Do you need me to do like a really quick of episode two?
Can you just give me a synopsis of everything? That'd be great. Thanks.
Lightning round.
Okay.
Before we hop in, let's remind people of a couple things.
Okay.
Tipsypod.com.
Yes.
Guys, live there. If you haven't checked in yet, check in.
You know what? Huh? Should we create a check-in on our website?
That'd be so good.
Just say hi.
Hey, guys.
You know how like you can wave at people on Facebook? You should do that.
Oh, that'd be fun. I don't know how to do that.
Me neither. Dustin.
Is that a thing?
Dustin,
help. He's like, stop creating jobs for me. You can find all of our social media on there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. Go check them out. Twice a month, we have watch-alongs come out on YouTube. So subscribe to our YouTube channel.
That's and a shit show.
Watch us struggle. Or me struggle.
Yeah, you.
It's fine. Either way, it's a lot of fun. You can find ways to support our show on there. If you want to buy some Tipsy Pod merch, that's a great way to support our show. Mm-hmm. And then you can walk around with a Tipsy Pod shirt on and people will be like, oh, what's that Terrified and Tipsy? What's that? And then you could be like, oh my God, it's the best podcast ever. You should listen to it.
It's as easy as that.
It's so natural and organic too. Like, that's how it would go.
Just like that.
Just like that. You could also buy us a glass of wine at buymeacoffee.com. $3 for a glass of wine goes a long way. $2 of that helps support our show, and $1 goes to the puppies and the kitties at the Humane Society.
Which I love.
We love it.
Yes.
We want to help the puppies and the kitties.
Of course we do.
And we also have a Patreon. There are 3 different tiers on that. You pick the one that works the best for you, and all of them help support our show, so we love you for doing that. Mm-hmm. You get exclusive content. You get videos that no one gets on their normal feed. You
That's
get
right.
Episodes they don't get on the normal feed. You get ad-free episodes, and you can get the episodes on Tuesday instead of Wednesday.
Which, why wouldn't you want us to hear our day early?
Right, because if you're listening to the episode on Wednesday and it's like finished and you're like, oh, I gotta wait a whole week? No. 6 days. 6 days. Get on the Patreon. Then you'll have to wait 7 days. But it's that early. It's that earlier than everybody else, though.
That's right. What she said.
All right, should we hop in?
Please. I feel like we should. Okay, so we are in episode 2. Mm-hmm. This is called Psalms. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we are back at the dead cats on the beach.
Yeah,
and
a lot of them.
All of the townspeople are checking this out.
Yeah.
Because, well, I mean, if something happens in this island, everybody knows about it.
Absolutely. And we see Warren, like, poking one with a stick.
Of course. Of course. So the sheriff comes over, tells Warren to get the people off the beach.
Yeah.
Like,
especially the mayor.
Right.
Oh, my God. He is so annoying.
He won't shut the fuck up.
So the mayor basically, because Warren listens and he goes over to the mayor and the mayor's wife and a couple other people and says, like, the sheriff asked you guys to leave because the sheriff's concern was that he didn't know if it was some type of like disease they died of.
Correct.
And he doesn't know if they like get too close to these cats if someone else can get sick. So that's the sheriff is a good person. Just
he
as
is.
Of now, he's a good person. So that's his concern. He's like, I don't know how all these cats washed up on shore. So let's get people out of here just in case.
Right.
So the mayor was basically like, fuck yourself, this is my town, and like blew right past Warren and just does not shut the fuck up.
He like starts talking about like this has happened before, but it was like dead starlings, dead birds basically all over.
And then he also thought that maybe the cats somehow got in the water from the uppers and a whole bunch of baby sharks killed the cats.
What?
How?
Mayor. Mayor.
So if there's a bunch of cats in the water, let's pause that for a second because now in my mind this is funny. So somehow the cats from a part of the island that never floods, because they made it clear that the uppers never floods.
Because it's called the uppers.
Right. So somehow the uppers flooded and washed all these cats up into the ocean.
Correct.
Where hundreds of baby sharks saw these So all of these baby sharks saw these hundreds of cats.
Right.
And they got the taste for cat blood. Right. And they're like, oh yeah. Game's on. We're getting all these cats. But we're not going to ingest the cats. We'll just bite them so they die and they can wash up on shore.
Right.
And that's what the mayor basically thinks happened in a lot more detail than he explained. And I'm like, what?
Mayor, this is not how any of this works.
How in your mind do you think sharks just bit all these hundreds of cats and were like, nah, I don't want to eat it?
Well, he just keeps talking. I'm just like, can you let somebody else talk for a second?
I'm like, shut up.
Shut up.
Because then the sheriff's son, Allie, comes with this like gas tank and drops it off at the sheriff.
Yeah.
And the mayor's like, well, what are you doing with that? And he's like, we're going to pile up the cats and burn their bodies in case they're infested with something.
Yeah, what does it matter?
But like, how about you let me do my job? Right. You go do your own thing, be the mayor someplace else. And he just won't stop talking. And then this man got me all riled up. Because then he starts talking to the sheriff about how he should go to mass on Sundays.
Oh my gosh.
So he's telling this Muslim man, who the mayor clearly doesn't respect anything about the sheriff's religious beliefs.
Correct.
And he's saying that, well, I know you go to the mainland to go do your worship.
Correct.
On whatever day you do that. Oh, it's Friday. Okay, well, Friday, that means you have Sundays open.
So you can help us on church.
You should really, even if you don't want to be like involved, you can still say something. You know, it would really make you look good in front of all the people.
He said that he didn't have to go in and do a membership. Really?
Yeah, it's like a membership program. And I'm like, and he's saying that like it'll make him look good in front of all the townspeople for him to just completely go to a church that's not even his beliefs.
Correct.
I'm like, how? Just ignorant. So bad. And then it was like, but the sheriff is so nice to these people who are not nice to him.
Correct.
And they're walking down the beach and they're approaching Riley and his dad. Mm-hmm. And it's like, while he's going through this monologue of like just disrespect, the sheriff is like, oh, hey, guys. And just like starts like interrupts the mayor and was like, okay, let's talk about these freaking cats again.
Right.
I'm like, this mayor, just an earful of nonsense. I'm like, stop. Can someone shut him up? Arrest him, sheriff. Just arrest him.
But for stupidity.
Yes.
Yes.
Ugh.
Well, he doesn't, and he can't.
I'm like, leave the poor man alone.
Right. So they make fun of Riley when he said that.
Oh, yeah, the rudeness doesn't stop.
No. When he says that he saw the Mansoor at the beach.
Yeah, because his dad, like, rats him out. I'm like, what a dick move.
Well, I think his dad's got a lot of animosity.
Yes.
A lot of animosity.
Because they're talking about how they think the cats got there. And then Riley's dad was like, well, you should ask Riley because he saw Monsignor running up and down the beach last night during the storm.
That was not the way to do it.
No. And they're like, well, Monsignor's on the mainland. He's like, I know. I don't mean it's him, but I saw something. I saw somebody. And
right.
Like, well, I mean, did he see the cats? And he's like, I didn't see any cats. I mean, it's this whole like interrogation of poor Riley.
He's like, can you just listen for a second? Just listen.
Can you leave? He's like, I didn't see cats when I was, I don't know. And then he like saw Aaron and he's like, okay, gotta go.
Gotta go.
And he walked away from their awkward like talking convo and started talking to Aaron on the beach.
Oh my God, I know.
I feel bad for everybody in this town, but also I hate a lot of people.
Well, the common denominator here, the mayor.
100%.
Just
the people
stop
I feel
talking.
Bad for right now are definitely the sheriff and Riley. I feel bad for Riley both episodes.
Right.
He's just in a weird situation.
He is.
Ugh.
So, yeah, you definitely made a mistake.
Uh-huh.
I think he's trying to make
the best of it. He's not a perfect person, but he paid his dues. He's done his time, and he's still working to be a better person.
Correct.
It doesn't erase what he did, because what he did, no matter how good of a person you are, what he did doesn't erase it, because what he did was terrible.
Correct.
But obviously, he hasn't forgiven himself for it, but he did pay his time doing what he had to do.
Yeah.
So I just back off him a little bit. Let him still work on himself.
Back off.
Just chill out. Leave Riley alone.
Well, they can't.
No.
So Riley sees Aaron, obviously, like you said. They start chatting, and then he apologizes for yesterday's conversation that they had had.
Yeah.
And just kind of unloading on her.
Yeah.
That wasn't really his intent. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
So he talks to her about what he saw in the storm yesterday.
Yeah.
And then he kind of stops because he doesn't want, he's like, well, the reaction wasn't taken very well.
Very judgy.
Just 5 seconds ago, mm-hmm. so I'm just going
to
stop.
But he wants you to get off the beach.
Correct. Well, he says something funny. He tells her to, like, stay away from the cats because he has to go to a meeting. But so he stay away from the cats so that she doesn't get toxocatmosis.
Or whatever it is. I wrote that too. I'm like, that's fantastic.
I had to rewind because I'm like, toxocatmosis? Yeah. I love that.
It was so funny. And she's like, it's actually a myth. And he's like, okay, well, I don't want you getting any toxocatmosis anyway. So just get off the beach. I was like, it's pretty cute.
That's pretty cute. Uh-huh. They both laugh and he heads off. Uh-huh. So we start our daily sermon because I think they do mass.
Every day.
Every day.
So they do mass every day and literally only 3 people show up mass every day.
I mean, just, what else do you do on the island? So, I mean, if I guess if it's something that you do.
Are then all these people like fishermen? Is that how they all, because like, I mean, what other job? I mean, somebody works at the grocery store, which is Anne, Riley's mom.
Right.
Works at the grocery store. There's what? One teacher, Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Okay, cool. And then everybody
Ms.
else.
Keen's is doing just, all of her disruptiveness
around
town.
Everybody's business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all the men are fishermen, I guess?
I guess so. I mean, what else do you do?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I did notice that at church, Father Paul was wearing green.
He was.
And not gold this time.
He's trying to do it right.
Uh-huh.
And try to please everybody.
Yep.
So as the sermon is starting, there's a hymn that's being sung. Mm-hmm. And then this kind of flashes to where Riley is in his AA meeting. Yep. He looks like really lost. Yep. Like he's not really interacting in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
But as
probably his first one.
Correct. Yeah. I think it was because they stamped his first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The first card. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, as this hymn is going on, they kind of flash back and forth to the church, whatever. So he leaves, hymn ends, and that's it. So after the church service ends, Lisa and her father are walking down this road together.
Lisa's the mayor's daughter who's in the wheelchair.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm sorry. So she.
Just a recap. It's all good.
You're so good at recaps. It's so impressive.
Thanks, girl.
So she asks where he was before he got to the island. Mm-hmm. And I had a hard time with his response because he kind of deflects the conversation.
With everything. Every time he gets asked a question, he answers the question without actually answering the question.
Yeah. He kind of goes down this rabbit hole and he basically says that everywhere that he was before this point was leading him here.
Okay, so where were you before this point?
I don't know.
Answer the question.
Talk about interrogation.
You were amped up the last episode. I mean,
you know what? I'm just going to sick you on him, and then I'm going to make you figure everything out. I think that'll work.
Let me interrogate him and the mayor, and I'm going to be feeling, oh, and that Brady bitch.
Oh.
Let me have him.
Oh, okay. I'm going to take it down just a couple notches. Just a couple.
Is it too loud in your headphones? Like, a little loud?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm used to it.
Okay, good.
Are you kidding me?
You're like, my hearing is not good anymore. It's fine.
No, it's fine. You've already ruined it. Okay. So as he's kind of like talking in circles, Lisa stops and looks over at Drunk Joe and his dog that are like standing on like a side road.
Yeah.
And Father, as he's talking, because he's going down this rabbit hole of whatever, and then he turns and he sees Joe standing there and he kind of like waves at him awkwardly.
Yeah.
Like, good morning or whatever. And then Joe looks a little disheveled.
Yeah.
Then he just kind of turns away and like walks off.
Him and his dog just leave.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what's happening here?
I don't know, because Lisa looks real worried.
Yes.
But tells Father that like she's fine.
Yeah.
She's fine. Is she?
Okay.
So at the school, Erin is cleaning the windows and then she runs out of Windex.
Yep.
So she goes into the storage closet area to go and find more Windex and runs into Miss Keen.
Mm.
She's in there.
Mm.
She asks if there's any more Windex, and Miss Keen, in her normal fashion, gets on her little soapbox and tells her that her mother never wasted anything, that she added water to the Windex bottle so she could get more use out of it. She always kept the empty bottles, blah, 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 because they were basically all water at one point because she just didn't want to throw anything away. And it's really sad because she already threw the bottle away, talking about Erin. And I'm like, you're such a bitch.
She's such a bitch. But Erin had such a good response she's like,
you know, it is funny because at home, she never met a bottle she couldn't empty.
Ooh, alcoholic comment. Awkward.
I think we know what happened now.
Uh-huh. Awkward.
Awkward. Okay, so that's it. Miss Keen ends up giving her another Windex bottle.
Yeah, but Miss Keen, Brady bitch, was also holding like this bottle thing of
a canister
of like poison. So she was telling Erin that somehow after the spills, I guess, that happened 3 years ago.
Right.
There's a rat problem in some people's pantries at their house. So she's found if she does this like potion mixture poison thing, that it kills the rats. So after the storm that happened, just for precautionary reasons, she's going to put some around her house just in case. And I'm like, what is this bitch up to? I don't trust her and I hate her.
There's no reason why you would do that.
No.
There's no reason.
There's no reason. And also, like, poisoning anything is an awful way to get rid of a problem.
Correct.
Like, oh, my God. Whether it's a rat or not, I'm like, don't poison anything, you crazy bitch.
She is a crazy bitch.
She's awful.
Okay. So we're done with that scene.
Yes.
And then we see Father Paul. He goes over to, her name is Sarah Gunnings. And
that's the doctor.
She's the OBGYN doctor. Mm-hmm. Goes over to her house. And he said that the Monsieur told him that her mother never missed a church service. Mm-hmm. And then that Sarah confirms that she was very devout Catholic. Mm-hmm. She always went to church, but she's sick now. She can't do it. And then Father Paul says that when he goes in to celebrate Mass with her.
Yeah.
So he's going to do it just with them too.
He has like a little like to go travel size.
A travel size? He does.
He has this like small like black case. It's small.
It's a travel size church.
Uh-huh. It is.
For Mass.
Because he moves like her like medical table tray. Yes. Like rotates it next to her bed and he lays out this like fabric thing and he like opens this little case and he's got like a tiny little thing of like the blood of Christ.
Right.
This tiny little thing of like the body. Uh-huh. A small thing of holy water. He's got this, it's a travel size. It's like TSA approved ounces travel size of like a Catholic sermon. He's just like, okay, let me get my little tchotchkes. Okay, I'm ready. It was like these tiny little bottles.
I never thought of that, but you're right. You are 100% right.
I'm telling you, it's TSA approved. Like he could get on an airplane with how small those bottles were.
And you know what? Maybe he did. We're going to find out. I don't know. He starts looking really teary-eyed as he's praying over her. So in it, I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, because she is just not. She's not there.
She's not there. Sad. No. Mm-hmm. She's not. Sarah goes into her office. He's like, I'm going to let you two have your moment. Yeah. I'm going to go in here and work for a second. But then a little bit later, she comes out to check on them and he's giving her communion.
Yeah.
Which is sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Father Paul, here's my problem with him.
That's what he wants you to, he wants to trick you. I don't trust him. I'm skeptical.
It's trickery.
IMDb says he's charismatic. I don't trust him.
Nope. You don't trust anybody that's charismatic? Is that what's going on here?
It's a trap.
It's a Catholic trap. Okay, so Riley gets back to the island from AA. Mm-hmm. He walks by Aaron's house, and she's reading a book on the porch.
Yeah.
And he just kind of passes by, and she calls his ass out.
Yep.
And she's like, you're not going to say hi?
You're just going to walk right past me?
That's kind of shitty. Uh-huh. So, you're going to do that, really? Okay. So she asks how his day was, which catches him off guard.
Uh-huh.
He says since he's been in prison, nobody really asks him that because,
well, all regimented
every day is exactly the same.
Yep.
So he's like, I don't really know how it's going.
Yeah.
Okay. So he asked how her day was, and she gave an overview of basically morning sickness, teaching smelly teenagers, being slut-shamed by Miss Keene, and then having night morning sickness. So she's like kind of
just... Which is exponentially worse than morning sickness.
Correct. She did say that.
It was pretty funny. At least she could make a joke of her, like, whatever she's in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that night, we see Annie working on sewing a banner for the town's next function, which is apparently a big thing.
Yeah.
It's called the Crock Potluck.
Yeah, because they refer to Crockett Island as the Crock Pot, which I think is funny.
It is kind of funny. Uh-huh. So she ends up stabbing her finger with a needle, and it starts bleeding a little, and then she starts looking at it questionably. Like,
because when she's looking at it through her glasses, her vision was blurry. And then when she picked her glasses off, she could see her finger clearly. Because she wears glasses like 24/7.
Right. So, I just found it very odd.
See, I started getting really skeptical because I'm like, what is in that blood, like that blood of Christ everybody's drinking? Because all of a sudden now she can see?
Yeah.
Hmm. Because vision through her glasses, which should be good, should be 20/20.
Right.
Is blurry. But when she takes her glasses off, it's clear.
I don't think I caught that.
Yeah. Because it comes up again later.
Oh, it does.
little weird miracle things. Yeah.
Ugh.
And I'm like, wait a second.
Wait a minute. And she doesn't have her glasses on. Like, oh my gosh. Okay. Okay.
I'm skeptical. I don't trust people now.
I mean, as you should.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because things happen Okay, anyways, we'll get to it. Okay, so as she's like sewing this thing, mm-hmm. Riley gets home and she asks how his day was. Yeah. And he's like, I don't really want to talk about it. I'm just going to go to bed.
Sure.
So he goes to bed. He lays down. Mm-hmm. And again, his angle turns.
Routine.
Yeah. The angle of the camera turns and he ends up seeing this dead girl again.
Yep.
And then he asks how her day was. And then he flat it, it.
Which is what made me think like he sees her every night.
Yeah. I just.
For 4 years, he sees this girl every night.
So I guess he kind of has a relationship with her. And yes, like in his mind.
He's just like accepted that every night he's going to see this poor girl.
I don't know. And this whole like boat scene. Yes. And it just. This whole thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Poor thing. So, okay. So, and then also a little bit later that night after everybody's gone to sleep, there's this swooshing down. Vision of the camera.
It's like feels, something's flying.
It feels like a perspective mm-hmm. from a bird.
Yeah.
Flies down to the island and kind of like swoops over the entire town. Ogre is walking his bike down one of the roads and like feels the wind
yes.
from this thing's like
gust.
Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And then this bird thing targets a house and then kind of flies down the chimney.
Yeah.
That's it.
And lands in this like abandoned house. And I was like, dude, you're not going to find any more cats. You've eaten all of them. All the cats are dead.
So I guess we're going to eat people now?
I guess. Because he can't eat more cats now, whatever the crap this thing is.
Well, I guess it's not Cat Island anymore, is
nope.
it?
Nope.
All right. So the next day, we see Warren Ogre and Father Paul burning palm fronds for Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent, for those of you who don't know.
Uh-huh.
Everyone, including people who don't go to church there normally... There's like now 30 people.
It's big, guys.
It's a big day.
Mm-hmm. It's almost 36 people at church. But they make this comment about, I guess it was the Brady Bitch, about like how people only show up on holidays and people
Correct.
Don't go on normal Sundays or weekdays or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Father Paul goes on this tangent too about like rebirth and the island having a rebirth. And his whole big thing about, like, what Ash Wednesday is. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, the first disciples were all fishermen.
Yeah. Because he has this, I mean, I refer to it as a motivational speech, which I know is not what happened at church. But, like, his sermon that he's standing at the altar with all these people in church, he gives this motivational,
yeah.
like, so much emotion. And he's, I mean, pulling at every single heartstring because he's like, you know, Jesus's best friends or his people were fishermen. That was the first profession. I mean, he's talking about all this stuff from the Bible about fishermen and all this stuff. And we see people like in their pews welling up. Their
yeah.
eyes are tearing.
They're like shaking their heads. Yes.
Even you know, Riley's like... dad, Ed, was like moved by the sermon. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is that charismatic thing.
He's doing it again.
They're all just, he has them eating. I mean, like he's just a puppet mastering all of them.
Uh-huh.
And this is what he's doing. He's like building and building all of their trust and waited until he had this huge audience and he's like, mic drop. They were all
he's like,
moved.
I got you all in the palm of my hand.
Right in my pocket, little babies. Right in my pocket.
Well, as, you know, he does this whole sermon thing. Everybody's like on board with what he's saying.
Yeah.
And then Annie talks Riley into getting up and getting the ashes drawn on his forehead
yeah.
to be blessed.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like one of those things that people will do on, you know, Ash Wednesday.
Right.
Okay. So he gets up and he does it.
Mm-hmm.
He makes his mama very happy.
Uh-huh.
So now we're at the potluck.
Yes, we are.
Okay, the crock potluck.
The crock potluck.
I don't like that. It doesn't roll off the tongue. I see where they're going with it.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
I think it's funny.
But it, okay. Yeah. All right, so they have like live music, games, mm-hmm. lots of food. I mean, it's.
All 127 people are there.
They are all there. We see Drunk Joe come up to the potluck.
I feel so bad for him.
I know.
I know he's not like a great person, but I feel bad for him.
I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
From what I've seen for so far.
He's someone who's made mistakes. I just feel bad for him.
I know. Well, I mean, alcoholism. It's mm-hmm.
He clearly, like, and we'll get into more detail, but he clearly doesn't have the support that he needs on that island.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. So the mayor and his wife kind of like stare at him, of mm-hmm. course. And then Riley gets there. And then we see Sarah and her girlfriend are talking.
Yeah, Dr. Sarah's a lesbian, which you know does not go over well with Brady, bitch.
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you know it doesn't.
Mm-mm.
So the girlfriend, they're like sitting on this bench, like right where the live music is. The girlfriend said that the island was exactly, you know, what she had described.
Uh-huh.
And that she just needs to get off the island. And Sarah's like, but I don't want to upset my mother. Like,
yeah.
I can't just move her
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then as this conversation is happening, they're also realizing that they are being stared down by Father Paul, which yeah. Mansoor did the same thing.
Yeah. She makes a comment saying that how she's kind of used to it because
her whole life.
Well, yeah. And then she's saying that Monsignor Guy has been the only priest at this St. Patrick's Church from before she was born.
Right.
He's the only priest people on this island have ever known. And when she's far back as she can remember, he would also just stare at her. And I was like, is there a connection between these two men?
I feel like there are.
There has to be.
He knows
right?
too much.
He knows everything. And I'm like, are they the same person?
I don't know.
There's something sketchy and I don't know. And like, honestly, guys, we've only watched the first episode. Like, we haven't watched anything else yet. So when we're like making guesses right now, we really don't know.
No, we don't know.
We have no idea.
No.
Okay, I think there's something going on.
I don't know, but we've got like 5 more episodes to go.
I know.
We're going to find out.
I'm going to find out.
So Father Paul sits on a bench next to Riley.
Yes.
And he tells them that he prefers Easter over Christmas. Like mm-hmm. out of the two holidays that are like.
Even though Riley didn't ask, like, who cares?
No, he just starts talking. He's making conversation with himself, you know, sure whatever. Is. So Father Paul said that Monsignor mm-hmm. had always spoken fondly of Riley. Mm. And then Riley goes on to tell him that he thought that he saw him on the beach
yeah.
during the storm. So he's like casually telling people around town.
Yeah.
And then Father Paul tells him that between the two of them, that Monsignor isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, like, he's like, that's unlikely.
Yeah, he's like, he's really sick. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. He's going to probably stay on the mainland
well,
for a
while. His story has changed because at
yes.
his first sermon, he was telling everybody, I promise you, he'll be back. I'm just temporary here. And now he's telling Riley that he's not doing well.
No.
And he doesn't think he's coming back.
No.
Okay.
Are
okay,
you
noted.
Doing something to him?
Yeah. And then he continues to tell Riley, which this is so fucking awkward, that he knows that he leaves once a week because his mom told the father that he leaves once a week to go to an AA meeting.
Correct.
And he was thinking about opening a chapter at the rec center on the island
so
that
spend a whole day.
He doesn't have to spend the whole day and leave and go to the mainland. And I'm like, how awkward is that? And he's like, well, I know there isn't much of like a demand for it because the only drunk on the island is Joe.
Right.
But he's like, I know, I just figured it's there if you want it as an option. And I'm like, that's not helpful at all. Like, he needs to go to a meeting with people who are like him, who he can go and support each other.
Correct. And maybe have somebody that has been doing this for a while, doing these AA meetings and knows how to help different types of people that
right.
are going through these different things.
He needs to be with people who can support him, okay. not just this one priest. And I'm like, this is awkward as shit.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So then he starts talking about Drunk Joe a little bit more.
Yeah.
And says that he had like this hunting accident in that, which is what paralyzed Lisa.
Yeah. He shot her apparently by accident.
Just shooting to shoot.
But Riley doesn't really think it's an accident.
No.
Because he's like, there isn't really much big game on this island.
No.
She's like, what was
happened?
He shooting at? What did he think he see? Because like, you know that he was probably hammered. And
right.
probably thought he saw a big animal or something and shot her, not
Correct.
Knowing it was her. But she's, I guess, paralyzed from the waist down and is in his wheelchair because of this freak accident, I guess.
Correct. That we think is a freak accident. Who knows?
We have no idea.
We have no idea.
This is all we know right now.
I don't know. So Father Paul says that Riley could set an example. Like,
yeah.
if he started this chapter, that he thinks that Riley can really help.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to really, really break through to Joe. Like, get out of here.
I don't fucking know.
Stop trying to control everything, Father Paul.
I know. Stop being so charismatic.
We're on to you.
Well, Erin comes over, interrupts the conversation.
Oh, thankfully. It was so awkward.
And she's also bringing Riley a cup of coffee, which, mm-hmm. how cute is that?
She's so cute.
She is so cute.
Yeah.
I really like her.
As they're like walking around each other, because she interrupts their conversation. They leave. When they got to the crock potluck, the people at the front, like where they were entering, were giving them tickets, like
yeah.
drink tickets. And she's making this whole long story about how she's going with her mom. And she would always say like she wanted to get drink tickets because when she was old enough, she wanted to go and eat a ticket and get a glass of wine and feel like a real adult.
Right.
And she's like, but meanwhile, we're the only two people here who literally can't drink anything. Like,
exactly.
He's going to AA and she's pregnant.
Right.
So she's like, here we are drinking coffee.
Here we are. So she goes on to say that, you know, it's kind of unlike her mother because her mother used to come to these things and like try to take everybody's
yeah.
tickets.
Like, are they not using them? And would take them and have a handful of tickets.
Yeah. She said that her mom got trashed. And she
yeah.
says that night after the potluck was never good.
No.
So which was really sad. I don't know. So she goes on to say that, you know, she works at the same job that her mom did. She sleeps in the same house that her mom mm-hmm. did. She's alone like her mom was. Mm-hmm. And Riley stops her and he says that she's nothing like her.
Yeah.
And that he tells her that she's going to be a great mom. Mm-hmm. So, like, just don't stop.
Because she's a great person.
Exactly.
So nice.
I know. They're really cute.
I know. And then it gets interrupted by someone yelling. I hate this whole part. I hate everything about this.
Drunk Joe. And I think this is probably where your hatred of Miss Kern comes from.
Oh, I hated her well before this, but this was like
icing on the cake.
Icing on the fucking cake. He is yelling, like yelling. Crying. Everybody at the potluck turns around and they see him and he's on the ground and his dog is dying.
Yes.
There's blood and like foam coming out of his dog's mouth. Because we see kind of quickly as like a quick flash before, like, a while ago when the crockpot started, the potluck started, somebody put a hot dog on the floor in front of his dog.
Correct. Yes.
So we don't see who it was. We don't know, but we just see the dog eat a hot dog. So now the poison or something of this hot dog, because this dog is dying.
I immediately thought of Miss Kern.
Hell yeah. Oh my God, she was the one talking about poisoning rats.
Correct.
And she was holding the rat, the poison itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, Joe, he breaks my heart because he is like beside himself with the only thing on this island that likes him. The only thing.
Yeah.
That cares about him is his dog, and it's dying in front of him because somebody poisoned his dog.
Can you imagine?
It's fucking awful. And he even said, too, like, while he's crying, he's like, you can all hate me, but to take it out on my dog
that or
this innocent dog is fucked up.
It is.
And I'm like, I feel so bad for him.
And then the sheriff comes over. He asks Joe what he thinks happened. He says, my dog was poisoned.
100%.
So then we see Aaron. The camera looks at Aaron, who is looking at Mrs. Kern because mm-hmm. she remembers the conversation.
The whole poison conversation.
Yes. And she thinks the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, okay, so this is good. So yeah. I feel like since somebody knows kind of the conversation that maybe she can get to the sheriff. I don't know. So at this point, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Go tell the sheriff.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next morning, Riley gets up and asks his dad if he could be of use and wants to help out on the boat with him and Warren.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're trying to...
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Uh-huh.
Baby steps into her real life.
Uh-huh.
All right. So at school, after kind of it lets out, the mm-hmm. sheriff comes over to see Mrs. Kern.
She's in the school, but there's like this big storage closet.
She's in the storage closet.
In the school.
Correct.
So she's in the storage closet and the sheriff walks in on her in the storage closet.
And I feel like she was waiting for him. Or like she knew that eventually somebody was going to come
talk to her. She had to have, but her...
She has an answer for everything too.
Her tone in this entire conversation...
Condescending.
I'm like, how this sheriff doesn't like punch her in the face, because he started off by telling her that it was confirmed that the dog was poisoned.
Correct.
And she gets very defensive
uh-huh.
and very condescending about like, well, who could have done it? And like, basically she knows that he's there assuming that she has something to do with it.
Of course.
Because then he asks her like, well, who has access to the storage closet? Well, everybody does. This whole storage closet is for the island.
Look at you. You just walked
100%.
In.
She's like, you just got here. I mean, you can get a gallon of poison if you wanted to. And I'm like, okay, this is getting a little much, lady.
She's sketchy.
Yeah, because then she asks him, like, if he can confirm anything of, like, who he thinks did it. And he's like, no, I can't confirm anything to you. And kind of shuts it down very, very professionally.
Yeah.
And then she says,
you are right, Sheriff. I see what you're getting at, and you are right. I should really lock these up.
Oh, you're going to do that, Miss Kern?
Like, I hate her. I hate her.
It's just her tone.
Yes.
Like she, who is this character? Like, who is this lady? Because she is like killing this role.
She just gets me upset.
I know. And that's what she's trying to do.
Yes.
Okay. So now after the sheriff leaves the school, mm-hmm. he goes over to see Joe at Joe's trailer that uh-huh. he lives in. And Bowl is there, which is the drug dealer.
Yep.
And he's helping him change his generator filters and kind of
oil in it or whatever.
Yeah. So Joe asks if the sheriff has locked Mrs. Kern up because uh-huh. he knows that she did it.
100%.
The sheriff says that she did have some chemicals in that it was possible that the dog picked it up by accident.
Yeah, because he was saying that she like put it around people's houses or her house for the rats. And Drunk Joe was like, first of all, my dog's name was Pike. So don't just say the dog.
Right.
And he's like, she's full of shit. His dog doesn't leave his side. His dog's not just going to wander through town and just like lick up random shit around people's houses. Like, he knows his dog was poisoned.
He doesn't believe it for a minute.
And Sheriff knows that she's something to do with it too. Because he first starts questioning the drug dealer guy and why he was there. The sheriff wanted him to empty his pockets.
Yeah.
And he's like, you'll find my fist up your ass if you look at my pockets. I'm like, calm down.
And Joe's like, just calm down.
Go someplace else.
Yeah, like,
he's,
just go.
He's fine. Leave him, whatever. So the drug dealer leaves. And then the sheriff starts speaking more freely to Joe. And he's like, you know, he knows that she's full of shit. Because Joe starts saying, like, he's known her his whole life.
Yeah.
She's always been this awful person. And he's like, I know she's full of shit, but, like, nothing he can do right now about it.
Right.
But he knows that she's lying.
Right. And then the sheriff is like, which catches Joe off guard. He's like, I believe you.
Yeah.
Like, everything that you're saying, I believe you. And it just kind of shuts Joe down a little bit because he's like, oh.
Yeah, because she's an awful person.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. I think we can all read into that.
Ugh, she's evil.
I mean, if the sheriff asked you if she was your favorite person.
Fuck her.
Oh.
Killed a dog. It's awful.
She is horrible.
Well, we assume she killed the dog.
She killed the dog.
She had to have, right?
She killed the dog. And she's not sorry about it.
Yeah.
Because she's an awful person. When
she's also a sociopath. She has no emotion.
Oh, no, none. Mm-hmm. When they were like sending everybody away, and then she was, her and Aaron were just standing there watching.
Yeah. She was the last one to leave the scene.
She was the last one. But she, like, when she spun around, she was
smug.
Just, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I was like, you're such a bitch. Okay. Yes. So Father Paul is having his first AA meeting with Riley.
So awkward.
So uncomfortable.
It's just the two of them sitting in this rec center, almost face touching to knees. Like, it's so uncomfortable.
Father Paul breaks the silence and the awkwardness of the situation by basically calling it out. Yeah. Like, this is weird. I didn't know it was going to be this awkward. Uh-huh. Let's just have a conversation.
Yeah.
So Riley starts talking about the rec center and that Miss Kern built it because basically she stole the money from the community.
Yeah. Because she convinced everybody to take, I guess there was like a settlement for this oil spill.
Yeah.
So she convinced everybody in the island to take part of the settlement, but then also convinced them that they should give it back because it's God's way of telling them that they, whatever, they got something because of God, whatever.
Right, she uses an excuse.
So she's saying that they should kind of pay it forward and give it to the church. And then he's saying, well, Monsignor Pruitt was out of his damn mind, so he didn't get the money.
Right.
So you know she did, because only the two of them involved in the church.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks that she used part of it to pay for the rec center, and however much left was it that she took for herself.
Correct.
So she's like stealing from all these people in the neighborhood.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
It's just, she just keeps getting worse. Okay. So after we realize that, you know, he starts going on his little rampage about Mrs. Kern, Father Paul talks to him about alcohol and that it isn't good or bad. It's what we actually do with it.
Right.
Like, we can turn it into a bad thing, but it's not God didn't turn water into wine.
Right.
To make everybody, like,
to make it a bad thing.
To make it a bad thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of where he's going with it. Riley tells him that when he was drinking, that he killed somebody and that the higher power couldn't help him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's where kind of his mindset is.
Yeah. They have this kind of big back and forth about responsibility, because Riley believes it's more of like an internal thing, and that the father's like not on board that, because he's like, well, you're saying you're your own higher power then. So they have this weird kind of religious debate back and forth with each other of basically like, where does responsibility lie? Is it with a higher power or is it within yourself?
Correct.
Kind of to blanket their long conversation.
Okay. So yeah, we had that conversation.
Yeah, it was lengthy. It was a good one, but it was lengthy.
It was lengthy. They went back and forth. They had a good time. Okay. So Erin is going through some pictures at her house and finds one of her and Riley.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I think a couple pictures of her and Riley.
Yeah.
She hears a thudding on her roof.
Not concerned, though.
No, not the first time. But the second time, when she heard it on the roof that was like coming down the side of her house.
It was like walking on her roof.
Right. It jumps off the roof onto the ground. So she goes over to the window, and I felt like something was going to happen.
I know.
So she walks over to the window, and she sees a person standing like farther away in the dark with like glowing
eyes. Gold eyes just staring at her.
And then it runs away.
But she's so calm. She just like goes back to like scrapbooking where the fuck she was doing. Like,
it kind of was scrapbooking, wasn't like, it?
She goes to the bathroom. She goes to pee.
Oh, she went to go pee.
I'm like, do you not see that outside your window? It was walking on your roof.
Well, she had to pee like for the 100th time for the day. She's pregnant.
She's like, I guess I can't do anything about it. No. Let's go tinkle, I guess.
She kind of looks out the window as she's peeing. Mm-hmm. And then she notices that there's blood in her underwear.
Yeah.
She immediately freaks out.
Sure.
She goes see Dr. Sarah, who checks her out. Baby's fine. Yep. Listen to her heartbeat. We're good. So as Sarah is starting to go back upstairs from, because her office is part of her house.
Oh, yeah. It's her house. Yes.
It is literally her house.
Yeah.
So as she's walking back upstairs, Sarah's mother screams bloody murder that there is a person thinking that it was her husband that had been dead for 15 years outside her window. And she kept saying, that face. And I'm like,
it was like up to the window next to her bed looking at her.
That scream scared the shit out of me.
Because she screamed Sarah's name and it was like this, like, I mean, ear piercing screech. And it made me jump. I hated it. Oh, my God.
All right. So now, Bull, who is a drug dealer, walking down the road, I guess in the middle of the night. I guess what else?
Like a tank of gas. What, I don't know what he was doing.
I don't know. So he's walking down the road, passes by this one of the dilapidated houses that are on the island.
This one's dilapidated and abandoned. The rest are just dilapidated.
Correct. That is correct. So as he's passing by this house, the front door kind of creaks open. He walks over to it.
I can't stand it. I'm like, run down the road. Why would you go over? The house is visibly abandoned.
He walks over to the front door and says, hello. Is anybody there?
Hello? Somebody there?
I can't stand it.
And then like 10 seconds later, the same statement repeats back to him.
It's his voice.
His voice.
Hello? Somebody there?
In like an echoier tone, repeats, hello, is someone there? Back to him.
You know what he does instead of like backing away?
He goes inside.
He goes inside.
I can't stand it. I'm like, you didn't run before and now you're still not going to?
Yeah.
So no, he's intrigued. Oh. He's like, oh, that was my voice. Let me hear who's fucking with me.
Maybe he's on something.
Well, he's a drug dealer.
That's what I'm saying.
He's got to sample the product, I guess, right? So he's like intrigued and goes inside and he goes,
who's that?
And then we hear his voice again.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Stop.
He's like, is that you, Ochre? And then
he looks in the corner of the room.
And then
it's dark.
Like dark. In this dark back corner, crouched down, we see like these yellow eyes.
The same glowing ones that Aaron saw.
Correct. So now we see Bull's face and we see him like look hot. Like
as this, if something is a monster. As if it's huge.
Yes. Stands up in front of him. It jumps on him. And then his hat flies off outside. And then the front door just closes.
Slowly closes.
So now we're finally getting something.
Yes. Okay.
So now back at the church, Miss Kern is saying a prayer. Father is staring at Lisa.
Yes. He looks shook. Like he's not paying attention to anything.
Not really. Mm-mm. No. He goes over to Lisa. This is like during the communion time.
Because usually during Mass, he'll walk over to Lisa in her wheelchair and give her like body of Christ, blood of Christ before everybody else.
Correct.
He'll just walk over to her and then he'll go back to the front of the altar and everybody forms into a line and goes to him.
That's correct.
So he did the same thing, walked over to her first, but Father's playing a little bit of games.
Oh, yeah, he is.
So he didn't walk fully over to her. He's a couple feet away.
He backs up.
Yeah, and he says, body of Christ to her. And everybody's like, what? Like he's not right in front of her. Everybody's kind of sketched out
like,
by
this
it.
Is not funny. Like, so this is mean.
She, like, uses the controls on her wheelchair and tries to, like, go closer to him. And he goes, no. And he starts backing up the stairs at the altar. And now he's at, like, the third step. And he goes, body of Christ. And now everyone's freaking out.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, that's not right. Even Lisa's mom is like, what the hell are you doing? So all of a sudden, Lisa's like, oh no, it's okay. Even though her eyes are all welled up.
Yeah.
This bitch starts moving her legs.
Yes.
She somehow stands up out of her wheelchair and like slowly walks over to the altar.
And up the stairs.
And I'm like, for a girl who hasn't used her legs in who knows how many years, she's doing stairs.
I thought the same thing. I'm like,
I get tired doing stairs. It used to be like every day. And this bitch for how long is like stairs? Fuck that.
Right.
Like, what? And I'm like, what's in that damn wine?
I don't know. But she walks over to him, takes the body of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Everyone is amazed. And that's it.
Because it looks like a miracle.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
So now back to your thing of where Annie, Riley's
all
mom.
All of a sudden now she can see.
This is weird.
It's weird.
I know.
It's like little miracles that are happening while he's there. And it's like, okay, all of these people are obviously very religious, right?
Correct, yes.
But even if you're not a religious person and you happen to be at this mass and you see this girl who you grew up in the same town with, who's in a wheelchair because she's paralyzed, stand up, how do you not become like, what the actual fuck? Like, become a little of a believer in something.
I know, right?
So I don't know what's going on with this priest, but there's something in that vino. There-
Can I have some of that vino?
It's got magical power potion vino, and I'm interested.
Well, that's it for that episode.
That's how it ends, with this girl who was handicapped now can walk.
Are we going to have to wait until next week to, like...
I mean, you can watch them whenever you want. We're just going to have to wait till next week to record them.
Okay.
But you can watch the next two if you want.
Oh, I will.
Because next week, we're going to have episodes 3 and 4.
Well, you know what? Netflix wants me to binge shit, so maybe I will.
See? It's actually a good thing for you. You don't have to deal with the suspense. You'll know what happens.
That's true.
It's pretty good, right?
That is pretty good.
The first episode was good because there was a lot of character building. It was like learning everybody. The second episode was really good.
It was good.
I was like, what is happening?
Well, I guess we're going to find out. I'm excited.
What this weird creature thing is. Yeah. And like, now she can walk. And there's so much happening.
I know.
So much happening. So obviously, we don't have to tell you what we're watching next week because we're watching more Midnight Mass. So next week's episode will be 3 and 4.
Yes.
And then we're going to wrap it up the week after that with the last 3 episodes of the series.
Absolutely.
Before we get into spooky Halloween season. Okay, a couple reminders. TipsyPod.com. Live there.
Get on there.
You can find all of our social media on there. You can find ways to support our show. One of them happens to be our Patreon.
I love Patreon.
Me too. You guys should check it out because there's 3 different tiers on there and it helps support our show and we really appreciate that. So pick the tier that works best for you. You get ad-free episodes. You get episodes a day before everybody else does.
What else do you get?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked because you get exclusive content. So we've done several interviews with like CSO Kaneda.
Yeah.
We did with the producer from 1BR on Netflix.
Yeah.
Those interviews are on Patreon, not on our normal feed.
Right.
But they're on Patreon.
You're welcome.
You guys are so welcome. For your earballs only. So check it out and watch more Midnight Mass and we will catch you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
I jumped pages.
Oh, don't do that.
I do it all the time.
One more time.
So at school, Erin... Oh, sorry.
Juno.
Is she just coming in hot?
She's just trotting around the house. Okay. I don't know what she's doing. Hi, little Junie, you happy girl. Hey.